Air Focus with Clem Ryan. Text or WhatsApp on 0833 97 97 97.
Well, a very good afternoon. Welcome to the final Kildare Focus of this week. Hope you find you well. And on today's programme, we're going to be speaking about the Kildare Biodiversity Acadian Hotel in Newbridge tomorrow. Health Promotion and Improvement Officer with the HSE will give us tips and supports on how you can quit the evils of smoking for good. Also, the Leaders Alliance Media is a new organisation which is calling on the government to stop the Section 39 workers' indefinite strike action due to start on next Tuesday. And librarian Amy, I hope I got that, Amy Quigley, will tell us about free bedtime storybooks for all children aged 4 and under in the county, available for libraries around the county. Now, Owen Beattie is saying in my ear that that's Amy, with an E at the end of the Y, after the Y, okay, A-M-Y-E. Novel way of spelling, but fair play. All of that anyway, and of course we'd like your messages as usual to the usual sources, 0833 97 97 97. You can also email us at studio@kfmradio.com, and we'll also be telling you, did you know that today is Friday the 13th? And why Friday the 13th superstitions are all in your head. Are you superstitious? I think every one of us is superstitious to a point. Some people will say no. But do you still throw salt over your shoulder? Do you watch black cats? Other little things like that. We'll have some details of a survey that's been carried out in regards to that. Maybe you can examine your own superstitious conscience as well in regards to that. Anyway, that's all ahead. 0833 97 97 97. Email studio@kfmradio.com. That number, by the way, is for WhatsApp and text. And we'll have a little bit of music thrown in as well. I see Madness lined up there, which might be very apt given the day that's in it. Let's get underway then. And Kildare Biodiversity Conference 2023 is taking place tomorrow at the Acadian Hotel over in Newbridge. There's an absolute plethora of speakers. To tell us more about this is Dan Donoher, who's manager of Kildare Wildlife Rescue. Good afternoon, Dan.
Good afternoon, Clem.
Thanks. Good to talk to you again. Dan, the last time I spoke to you, I think you were with the Kildare Animal Foundation. You're now with Kildare Wildlife Rescue. Tell me a little about that.
Yeah, so I set up Kildare Wildlife Rescue with a group of other individuals about 18 months ago. So we're just based here in Kildare Town, just beside Grabby Veterinary Hospital. And we're focused just on wildlife within the county and then surrounding counties also. So we've only been open 18 months, but we have charity status now. And we've also dealt with nearly 3,000 animals since we opened.
Now, you're going to be at 11:45 tomorrow morning. In fact, the role of wildlife rescues play in biodiversity and conservation. So before we start generally talking about the conference, tell me a little about what Kildare Wildlife Rescue does. I know it rescues wildlife. Give me a couple of the examples that's happened.
Yeah, so I guess kind of to tie in with our talk, so biodiversity and conservation. So there is, as we know, a biodiversity crisis. And so we take in animals that maybe are a lot rarer than, you know, they were. So each individual animal or bird is important to their species survival. So if we can nurture that animal back to health and get it back out into the wild, we hope then that it'll be able to go on and contribute towards its species then. So that's kind of how the role would be. So just one example would be, we had 6 kestrel chicks in earlier this summer, and there was a nest cam put up, and the person that had the license for that noticed that the mother was not coming back, so got in touch with us. We then contacted National Parks and Wildlife Service for a license to remove the chicks before they died. So them chicks came to us, they were only a couple of days old. They were looked after for a couple of months, and then they were released back out into where they were found. So those 6 individuals would have been lost had we not been able to step in.
And those are kestrels. They're a protected species, are they not? Type of eagle or hawk or whatever.
Type of bird of prey, yeah. They feed on rodents. So, you know, they do help with the ecosystem. And they are red listed, so means they're a species of concern in the country. So each individual is important.
And the mother had abandoned the six. That's unusual. So could we surmise that some harm had come to the mother?
Yes, she most likely had come to some harm while hunting. The father was present, but he didn't have the experience to feed them. He was bringing food back to the nest.
Typical man. Leaving the babies in the lurch to the mammy, yeah?
Yeah, so that was good work between the individual. It actually was a farmer, which was doing lots of stuff for biodiversity on his farm, and then just kind of knowing who to contact and what to do. So that's, again,
good story.
Ties in with our talk, yeah.
Yeah, and so you speak about the farm and biodiversity. That, of course, is a big part of the whole biodiversity thing at the moment, encouraging more and more farmers to engage in biodiversity. But, of course, on the other side of the coin comes then farmers. Yeah, I'm more than willing, but I need the money and the resources.
Yeah, that's it. So, again, the idea behind the conference really is to bring everybody together that is doing stuff for biodiversity or wants to do stuff for biodiversity, hear about best practice, come together, share ideas and how we could actually all work together, because we're all doing our bit, but really as a collective is really what will make the biggest impact.
Yeah, and I see there that, speaking of farmers, Trevor Harris is a farmer, is one of the speakers tomorrow, and a colleague of yours, Sean Byrne from Kildare Wildlife Rescue, is also speaking. What a lineup you've got. Let me just run through them. First of all, you'll have Kildare Biodiversity Officer from the Council speaking, Wild Kildare, then the National Parks and Wildlife Service. We've mentioned Trevor as a farmer, your own organisation, Dúlra Éige Éireann, which engages with nature, the Irish Peat Conservation Council, Birdwatch Kildare, the Kildare Bat Group. Indeed, we have a very good little documentary commissioned by Kildare County Council some years ago, which we repeat occasionally, on the secret life of bats and their impact on Kildare's biodiversity. Much maligned, the old bats, because of horror films and all of that, but they're in fact fascinating mammals, and they are mammals, they're not birds. Kiltidy Towns is in there with composting. There's a panel discussion and closing statement, and I see that Maeve Boylan from the Kildare Biodiversity Officer, Chris McKenna, I wonder, is that the Chris I know? And Philip Strickland from Wild Kildare, Noel Bugler from the Parks and Wildlife Service, and who else is in there? Maeve Boylan, Kildare Biodiversity Officer, I think I mentioned her. And Councillor Tracy O'Dwyer, good Kilcullen woman, I'll tell you. That's some lineup you've got for tomorrow, and a busy day from 9 a.m. tomorrow morning.
Yeah, quite a busy day. Very impressed by everybody agreeing to come give up their Saturday and come and talk to us. So I think, yeah, it's a really good lineup. A lot of experience there. Lots of people with great ideas, and then, you know, coming together and see how we can all work together.
It surely is. You're getting underway as early as, I know Tracy O'Dwyer's given the welcoming address at 9 a.m, people coming in from 8 a.m. and finishing at 5. What ultimately would you hope to achieve out of all of this? I forgot to mention Paddy Madden of Dúlra Éireann, by the way, as well. Lorraine Benson of Birdwatch Kildare. Anna Collins with the great story of the bats from the Kildare Bat Group. Paddy Walsh from Kildare Tidy Towns. Bridget Loughlin, that's Bridget, the County Council Heritage Officer.
That's correct, yeah.
Good friend of us here in KFM. Nuala Madigan, Trevor Harris, Patrick Madden are some of the others. And I think I mentioned, maybe I didn't, Nuala Madigan of the Irish Peat Conservation Council. Fantastic lineup. What would you hope to achieve or would go out from this after tomorrow, rather than it being the talking shop, and I use that with respect, during the day?
Of course. Yeah, so as you can see as well on the programme, we have lots of opportunities for people to network and get to talking to each other. Delegates are then asked to kind of three actions they think that should come from the conference, and then how we can achieve them. So that's kind of, we want to come up with some actions tomorrow and then see how we as a collective could achieve them within the county, you know. And Kildare has a lot, as you know, going on for it and does a lot of great work. So I think we can kind of be the trailblazers and show hopefully other counties then how to do stuff for biodiversity.
Well, I think, yes indeed, and because people assume, you know, well, wildlife and this, that and the other, they have particular images we see from nature programmes, but I suppose it's fair to say wildlife and biodiversity begins in your own front garden or back garden.
Yeah, absolutely. Everybody can do their little bit, whether you're living in an apartment or in a and in the countryside, you know. And as you can see from the speakers, we've a range of everyone from tidy towns for the peatlands and all that. So it's all angles, all areas will be covered tomorrow.
All right, Dan. By the way, from Kildare Wildlife Rescue, how can people contact you if they do find, and often people find it could be a roadside accident or it could be just someone like that farmer who knows. Fair play to that farmer for noticing that the mother had not returned and so forth, and rescuing six valuable kestrels to send back in. How can you at Kildare Wildlife Rescue be contacted?
Yes, so through our website is kwr.ie, or our email is info@kwr.ie, or on our all our social media channels as well.
All right, kwr.ie, Wildlife Rescue. But all of that biodiversity conference taking place tomorrow, and there is a photo of that most endangered of birds, am I right, on the folder that I'm looking at?
And,
what's that bird again? Jesus.
The corncrake.
I just had a little mental block on it. Beautiful bird, very quiet, difficult to find, but it's kind of positive that they're beginning to make a bit of a comeback, Don. Or are we being over-optimistic?
No, any slight comeback is great, and it gives people more kind of positivity to keep going what they're doing. But we've done a lot, you know, but there's a lot more to do.
All right. Echoing a political slogan there. And that's Dan Donohue, of manager of the Kildare Wildlife Rescue and the Kildare Biodiversity Conference, which takes place tomorrow at the Cadian Hotel in Uish. I didn't ask you the most obvious question of all. Is that open to the public?
So we're actually sold out. So we had 100 tickets on sale, and we've actually sold out. So that's great. So there's about 130 people all in tomorrow once we're at the event.
All right. Well done, Dan Donohue. Well done, all associated with that Biodiversity Day tomorrow, supported by Kildare County Council. And making the welcome address will be Fine Gael Councillor Tracy O'Dwyer of the Kildare, no, it's not the Kildare Municipal District. Well, it's the one that Kilcullen is in anyway. Newbridge Municipal District, I'm sure that is. Dan, good talking to you again. And keep
great, Clem. Thanks for having me.
Keep up that great, great work, and good luck with the conference tomorrow. Dan Donohue there, and I'm sure we'll hear a lot about that, reports on the other side of the coin. Now, just before we move to maybe a bit of music, there's to be no change to the uniform policy in relation to facial jewellery. Are visible tattoos for new Garda recruits, Garda Commissioner Drew Harris has said. He was speaking today at the Garda College in Templemore, where Minister for Justice Helen McEntee announced an increase in the entry age limit for Gardaí up to 50 years old. We've been telling you about this in our news bulletin since early morning. The Commissioner said there was no issue around Gardaí having tattoos, only visible ones. The force is a uniformed organisation and appearance was important, he said. Tattoos of skulls or the Grim Reaper, for example, were not appropriate for Gardaí dealing with people in traumatic and difficult situations, Commissioner Harris added. He said rather than making subjective decisions on whether individual tattoos are acceptable or offensive, on Garda Síochána has decided on a policy of no visible tattoos. I watch programmes about British police and they often have their shirt sleeves rolled up. And I think you see plenty of evidence of tattoos there. I wonder, do listeners out there feel that a Garda... Now, I can accept you don't want to meet someone with facial tattoos looking like... Now, culturally, they're acceptable, of course. You'll see them on the All Blacks, the Samoans, the Fijians. You'll see facial tattoos because it's part of their culture. Tattoos have become very popular in this country in the last few years. So, I suppose asking you out there, 0833 97 97 97, how you'd feel about a guard dealing with you if the guard, he or she, had a facial tattoo. Would you have a problem with visible tattoos on Gardaí's arms and so on and so forth? But anyway, the Commissioner says no visible tattoos. You can be tattooed all you like as long as it's head behind the uniform. Now, asked about any potential changes to this policy, the Minister for Justice, Helen McEntee, said it would not be appropriate for her to comment. Yeah. But she did say that the increase in the entry rate for Gardaí from 35 to 50 is in line with people living longer and changing jobs more often. She said older people will bring experience and diversity to the force. They will, but there's still one problem. If you're going to be able to join the Gardaí at 50, you still have to retire at 60.
That's just 10 years away. Now, lads, 60 is just basically you're just slightly over the teenager age. And in that case, while we're not suggesting that people in their 60s be sent out to tackle protests and riots or anything else, but as we said on Kildare today this morning when chatting about this with Owen, surely anybody in their 60s, and I'm sure even depending on people in their 70s, is well able to do the type of admin work that is tying up many younger Gardaí in stations. They could do community roles like community Gardaí, youth liaison, court services, everything else. So it's very welcome that you could say people can come in at 50. But, and the fitness test for Gardaí, which has caused a number of problems because quite a lot were failing it. And these are the under 35s were failing the fitness test. I think it's going to be graduated in some way. 126 new Gardaí were commissioned at Templemore today. And brings the force up to 15,000. They've committed to bringing it to 15,000. There are now 14,032 Gardaí in Ireland after today's ceremony. So it'll be interesting to see if it comes up. But should there be a retirement age? I know in the General Civil Service, the retirement age has been done away with because I think it's discriminatory. So should it be done away from the Gardaí as well? Anyway, we'll see what happens here. Minister McAtee said she's currently in discussions with the Minister for Public Finance or Expenditure, Pascal Donoghue, in regards to pension changes, which might come for somebody if they were to be able to stay on in An Garda until after 60 or thereabouts. So watch this space, we'll tell you all about it. Because two Gardaí a couple of years ago took a case on the age discrimination and they got €12,700 each. That was because of the cut-off of 35. Now you can stay till 50. I bet somebody might take some kind of a case at some stage about having to retire at 60, given how hard it is to recruit Gardaí, etc., etc., etc.
Their Focus with Clem Ryan. Text or WhatsApp on 0833 97 97 97.
That's how you get in touch with us. Also, email studio at kfmradio.com. And a couple of listeners generally seem to say that they have no problems with tattoos on Gardaí. And on that basis, by the way, just to broaden the debate a little or the discussion a little, even subconsciously, when you see a person with tattoos, how do you react? Subconsciously now. And I suppose the thing to ask is, if your husband, some people are going to be roaring and laughing at this at home now. If your husband and wife came in, or wife came in with a big tattoo, how might you react? Or your son or daughter? So people can often say, I don't mind, maybe until it comes closer to home. But an interesting discussion. But anyway, the guards will not be allowed to have visible tattoos, and that includes the 126 new ones. Now, I know a good few Gardaí who have tattoos, but they have to keep them covered. They can't wear short sleeve shirts, stuff like that, etc., because you can't have them visible. That's the key thing there. Now let's move on to the other big topic, and it is a big topic. Did you know that you're 5 times more likely to quit for good if you stop smoking for 28 days? The problem with many people is they can't stop smoking for 28 minutes, not alone 25 days. Or 28 days. But there is a personal plan available. Now, October is quit month, and the HSE is reminding you that basically advisors and supports are available. And one of those is Una Delahunt, who's Health Promotion and Improvement Officer with the HSE. Good morning. Good afternoon, Una.
Good afternoon, Clem. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for joining us today. Why the 28 days thing? Where has that come out of?
So the research shows that you're 5 times more likely to quit if you stop smoking for 28 days. And I suppose this October, we're really trying to promote the Take Back Control campaign, that if you do quit for 28 days, you will really notice that you'll have your freedom from the control that cigarettes have over you. And that's what we're trying to highlight to the public.
I noticed you used the term control that cigarettes have over a person.
Yeah, so oftentimes people who smoke believe that cigarettes help relieve their stress or support them through boredom or help them socialise. and cigarettes are reliable and always there for them, like a good friend almost. So we're really trying to highlight that that people who are quit for 28 days, the new quitters will begin to see the moments when the smoking had control over them, and they'll start to see that once they take one day at a time and see what cigarettes are doing to their life.
Because nicotine is a highly addictive substance, isn't it? It's as highly addictive as really any one of the drugs that we hear most frequently about. But for some reason, maybe it's because that it is legal and, used to be socially acceptable, very prevalent in the 50s and 60s. Not as socially acceptable as anymore, given the laws passed in this country in the last few years. But the highly addictive nature of nicotine.
Absolutely, and smoking is very addictive. And that's, I suppose, why our support is there with a local stop smoking advisor that work with a person individually so they can help them create a personalised plan that's tailored to their lifestyle. And then we also look at advising on nicotine replacement therapy, and that helps provide them with, I suppose, managing their cravings and withdrawals from the nicotine, from the cigarettes. And by using the nicotine replacement and seeing a stop-smoking advisor like myself, you're four times more likely to quit smoking using these supports than going it alone. And so that's why we usually recommend the nicotine replacement. And now we can offer this for free, and it's usually in the forms of two forms of nicotine replacement, such as the patch and the lozenge or gum, the mouth spray or an inhaler. And this allows a slow and a quick release of nicotine, especially in those early days.
Are you saying that this is part of the QUIT program, is that right?
Absolutely.
Which recognises that smoking is an addiction, as I've just said. Now, you just give me the overview of the QUIT program, first of all, how people might engage and what happens.
Yeah, so the HSE QUIT service are free and available all year round. The QUIT service provides personalised plans, like I mentioned, and it's based on evidence-based plans tailored to the supports and the needs of each individual. And we have a combination or different supports to suit different people. For example, there's one-to-one support available either face-to-face or over the phone. We offer group supports in communities. There's also opportunities to contact the QUIT line, who are a free phone number. That's 1800-201-203, where you can get text messages or phone support. But locally in Kildare, we have five local clinics where you can see a stop smoking advisor face-to-face or over the phone. And they're in Athy, Maynooth, Naas and Newbridge. You can find more information on your local stop smoking clinics by searching the HSE website or else calling that number 1800-201-203 to get in touch with your local stop smoking advisor.
I turned off my microphone. These services are free and available all year round. Free. So you get an online personalised QUIT plan. What would be the nature of that, for example?
So when you come to see a stop-smoking advisor, the first couple of sessions are discussing your smoking history and, I suppose, your nicotine dependency levels. And coming up with a plan to, I suppose, look at maybe around your behaviours and your routines around smoking, such as if you smoke around stress, how can we manage that? And then looking to set a quit date. And once you are quit, we really talk about how to cope with the cravings and withdrawals and stay quit throughout the 28 days and beyond.
And that face-to-face group support, is that kind of like in the AA model or the Al-Anon model or the Narcotics Anonymous model of groups of smokers coming together and talking about their experiences?
Yeah, absolutely, and they're fantastic opportunities because everyone there are in a similar situation where they're trying to quit, and there's many smokers have tried to quit many times before, so there's lots of learnings, and each time someone quits, they get a learning as well, and being able to take that to the group to see how they can progress further is fantastic.
All
as
right.
well as that, you have that support of each other and from the facilitator in the room as well.
And tell me, what's in the free quick or in the free quit kit again?
So in the quit packs, we have an information booklet, and there's a kind of a card to mark off each day up to your 28 days, as well as some other information and some pencil and a little quit box to kind of put your savings in, because we know smoking is very expensive, and that can be a good incentive sometimes for people to quit, is the cost.
And how do you get that quit kit?
So you can order a quit kit from the HSE website as well.
All right, sent to your address.
And what about... Sent to your address, yeah.
What, the advice on nicotine replacement therapy and stop smoking medication. The one thing maybe that might be counter to that now, and I don't know if this is true or not, are these not very expensive products?
Absolutely, they can be very expensive, especially as we recommend the combination approach of a patch and a second form. And that's why we can offer the free nicotine replacement to anyone who uses the service and goes through the 6 weekly sessions that we would set up with. So that's why we can kind of support that with the cost.
And when you the free nicotine replacement, how long does that last for? Just the 6 weeks, is it?
So we can offer the free nicotine replacement to up to 12 weeks, and that's the standard protocol of using nicotine replacement is over 12 weeks. Well, we'll put in plan in to reduce this over time as your nicotine dependency reduces.
Okay, I often wonder about those products. They contain nicotine, don't they?
Yes, so they're kind of allowing a safe level of lower nicotine to kind of help manage those cravings and withdrawals, especially in the first few days and weeks.
Of course, they wouldn't have the harmful chemicals that the cigarette nicotine has. I presume that's where that's coming from.
Absolutely.
In regards to that as well. I was going to ask you something that's gone out of my head for a minute, but give us a few top tips anyway for quitting smoking successfully.
I think the biggest tip I'd give to someone is don't feel like you need to do it alone. The service is there to support people, to put a safe and effective measures in place to help support you. And we're a non-judgmental and supportive and encouragement self-spoke advisor can support you through that journey. The other thing is, as I spoke, focus just on each day as it comes. Take one day at a time until you get to the 28 days. And once people get to that goal, you're 5 times more likely to quit smoking for good. So taking it step by step. And the other thing I would advise people, or a top tip would be to use the stop-smoking medicine that is out there, such as the nicotine replacement. It is safe and effective, and it's clinically sound ways of getting through the first 28 days and to help manage those cravings. Mm. And also, sometimes it can be very helpful to find distractions when you are getting these cravings. So finding something that works for each individual.
Oh, I know what I was going to ask you, because when I mentioned to you about the cost of these nicotine replacement products, of course, when you take it into comparison with the cost now of 20 cigarettes, it went up by 75% in the budget. I think the cost of a 20-pack now is $16.75. So,
yeah.
Something like that. So, on that basis, if a person is smoking 20 cigarettes a day and they want to multiply that by 365, by my simple maths, that comes into spending after tax. Now, remember, this is money that you get in your pocket after you've paid your taxes to the revenue. You will be at 20 a day spending in excess of €6,000 per year. So just let me be sure about that. 365 days multiply by 10, with 3,650, and then throw in the half of that again, you will. That's incredible money, isn't it? The cost of it.
Absolutely. What would you do if you were given over €6,000?
Yeah, you'd have some holiday off to Bali.
Absolutely.
And everything else. And then you can double it for anybody else. Now, we're talking about net here, the money that comes into your hand after the revenue has picked your pockets every month and taken away to fund the services in the country. 20 cigarettes a day. If you want to do the math yourself, multiply €16.75. Make it €75 for the gas and multiply it by 365. Owen Beattie, if you're listening to me outside, do that and verify those figures for me, will you? Okay. Look, it's good. Certainly, very, very sound advice. And if anybody wants to find out more, the phone number is a free phone number, the free phone quit line, 1-800-201-201. 203, and you can also find them on the HSE Quit on their Facebook page, on Twitter and everything else like that. 1-800-201-203, and Una Delahunt is a Health Promotion and Improvement Officer with the HSE. Thank you for that, Una.
Thank you very much.
Enjoy your day. Okay, good afternoon to you. Yeah, I tell you one thing. When you do the numbers like that, 365 multiplied by... I wonder, is he? Are you listening to me out there, OMBG?
I am. I've no headphones. I'm in here working away here on the abacus.
Of course.
And, yeah. €6,113. So you weren't far off.
6,000. I was just on the... More or less on the button. Never mind you're far off. €6,000 it costs to smoke 20 cigarettes a day. Now... For most people, even on the lowest income tax rate of 20%, you know, they're going to have to earn €8,000 a year to fund that.
Yeah, in their and wage unfortunately, pack. Unfortunately, it looks as though it is those people who are on the margins that have the problem when it comes to the addiction. You know, studies have shown that, it's costing a fortune.
It's the lower paid people, but there you go, folks. 20 fags a day will cost you €6,000 a year, which is the money into your pocket after you've paid all your taxes. And if you then want to smoke 30 a day, €9,000 a year. If you smoke 40 a day, €12,000 a year. Listen, you could buy a house and easily pay the mortgage of a very big house on that basis, as well as minding your health as well. Okay, we'll stop and we'll leave it to people, because I don't think there's a smoker out there who doesn't want to give up, in fairness. And there you have the efforts again now, folks. So ring that phone line. Don't say I'll do it tomorrow. Do it today. 1-800-201-203, it's a free phone, and you'll get all the help, including some free anti-smoking products as well. Yesterday, a group of disabled people came together to form what's called the Leaders Alliance. They're calling on the government to stop a strike. Let's find out more, because I'm joined by Lee Gath, who's the media spokesperson with the Leaders Alliance. Good afternoon, Lee.
Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for... You want to stop a strike. Who are you and why?
Okay, we are a group of people with disabilities who use services to support us in living our daily lives. We are speaking for the thousands of people with disabilities in Ireland who maybe have no voice of their own to speak up. What's happening on Tuesday is that Section 39, which are organisations such as, for instance, the Irish Wheelchair Association, Enable Ireland, Cheshire, and others. There's like 18 organisations. And they are going out on strike because for 15 years there has been a pay disparity between them and the workers that do exactly the same job who are employed directly by the HSE. Now, there's a 10 to 12% pay difference. And yet the HSE workers, many of them also get petrol expenses when they go out to people's homes.
Right.
Many of the PAs and people who have other staff coming into them don't get any petrol expenses. And an example of that would be my PA lives, it takes her 30 minutes to get from her home to mine. And she comes in to support me every day and gets no petrol expenses. So basically she's working for me to put petrol in her car.
Exactly. Now, so I infer from what you're saying, you fully understand why these people are going to go on strike. 39 workers, indefinite strike action, or not 39 workers, Section 39 workers, indefinite strike action, due to begin next Tuesday. You understand why they're going on strike and probably support it. But for people like yourself with a disability, it's going to have a severe impact on you.
Totally. There are going to be many people. If this strike goes ahead, the impact for people could be people are left in their beds, not able to get out of bed in the morning, not able to get a drink of water, not able to get any food, not able to get turned in the bed to stop them getting sores, not able to get a shower or get dressed, denied day services, denied respite, which is a vital lifeline for many, many families and for the people themselves. And residential services, I have no idea what's going to happen to the people who are already in residential services if all of the staff have to walk off the job, because they will be left there alone.
So what are you asking for?
We're asking for the government to get a bit of sense and stop the strike. We are asking that they respect people with disabilities by respecting the workers that support us to live our lives every day. And that this pay disparity has been going on since around 2010, when the HSE workers, their pay was restored after the crash. And the Section 39s, who get grant funded, the HSE is still their paymaster, but they decide how much money they're going to give them each year. And their pay was never, and the funding was never restored. So now there's a 10 to 12% pay difference. And what this is causing, and you can't blame the workers, is for workers to be leaving these organisations hand over fist to try to get in with the HSE because they have better paying conditions. And they have families to keep too. Like they have lives to live as well. Which means that by leaving workers with no choice but to do this, you're disrespecting people with disabilities. And once again, we are seen as second-class citizens. And that's what it boils down to.
All right. Okay, disabled people calling on the government for rights, not fights. Stop Section 39 strike, they say. Restore pay to those workers that Lee has outlined there. Raise respect and don't let the fallout from this pay and employment issue affect disabled people who will have no access to day services, respite services, residential services and independent living supports. The new organisation, the Leader Alliance, has come together to try to bring the government to their senses on this issue, as they might put it. And Lee Gath is a Leaders Alliance media spokesperson. Lee, good luck with that. Hope it works out for you and thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Can I just say real quick, Clem, that Leaders Alliance are not affiliated with any disability organisation. We are independent of everybody.
All right, well said on that, Lee. We'll talk to you again, no doubt, in the future.
Thank you very much.
You're more than welcome, okay. Take care. Right, coming up after the break, we're going to be talking about Would You Like a Free Bedtime Storybook for All Children in the County?
Kildare Focus with Clem Ryan.
Then let's see, do you want to know, by the way, somebody just said free books for everybody. It sounds like the Late Late Show. Well, why not? Why not? Should we always aspire to be among the greatest, don't we? Kildare County Council is announcing via its Kildare Library Service what's called the First Five Little Book at Bedtime Initiative. And to tell us more about that is librarian Amy Quigley. Good afternoon, Amy.
Good afternoon, Clem. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you. And tell me a little bit more what this is all about.
Yeah, so the Little Library at Bedtime initiative is part of the First Five Whole of Government strategy, which aims to improve the lives of babies, young children and their families. So parents and caregivers of children who started junior infants this year and last year will have received a My Little Library bag of books with a library card wallet and lots of other goodies. And the Little Library at Bedtime is aimed at children under the age of four, so from birth to four, who haven't started school yet. We are aiming to give a free bedtime storybook and library card wallet to every child in Kildare under the age of four. And obviously we'd love if they join the library too. As you, I'm sure you're well aware, the library is free to join. And we hope that in providing these lovely bedtime storybooks to parents and caregivers, that we will help children to foster a love of reading and books. And also, you know, reading to children helps to improve their confidence and it'll create that lovely bond reading at night with children, as well as developing vocabulary and getting them ready for that school journey when they turn five.
I think it's a wonderful initiative, absolutely, from children, because children, before they get hung up on bloody smartphones and various devices and looking blankly and losing their power of speech because they'll never speak again, particularly to any adult in the vicinity, because they're too busy on their devices and leave me alone. So that as they vanish into their cyber world, there is nothing as beautiful, I say it, as...
As
Owen Beattie keeps reminding me, yeah, you're old, Clem, but I don't care. There's nothing more beautiful than the texture of a book and the magic of the written word.
Well, that's it. And, like, you know, we do believe that reading from birth with your child, you know, is a really simple and but powerful way to help them develop, you know, their reading, their writing, their imagination, you know, and help to prepare them for their future school and, you know, and further than that. And we'd love to have parents and caregivers reading stories to children at bedtime. Now, the storybook is also, it's available in English and in Irish, so parents can choose which they prefer themselves. And it comes with a lovely little library wallet for that library card that they're going to join the library with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it ensures that all babies and young children in Kildare and across the country will grow up with books in their homes, you know.
Absolutely.
So,
and this is available through every library branch in the county.
It is available in every single one of our libraries across the county, yeah.
I'm going. Where are you based, Una? Or Amy?
I'm based in Newbridge.
Well, if you see a little fella coming in tomorrow, it'll be me on my knees. coming in and saying, I'm only four, Amy, can I have the book and the wallet? I think this is wonderful because the many benefits it has for children's well-being, literacy and love of reading. And I think it's a fantastic. So mammies, daddies, parents, carers, everybody, get your little four-year-olds out, get them into the local library, sign them up free for library membership. They can have their magic...
Free for library membership, yeah.
Yeah, they can have their magic books every week. So can you, by the way, as adults. Join
Absolutely.
For free. So what a service, you know, because books can be expensive. And you can get your free bedtime storybook and join the library. Bedtime storybooks available in English now. This is superb. Well done once again, Kildare Library. You're stars. And Amy Quigley, look out for me tomorrow, Amy.
I will, Clem. Thank you.
At Newbridge Library. I'll wear a big cap over me just to... I promise I'll look about four or younger anyway. I can hear him saying in my headphones here, you haven't a hope. Anyway, well done.
Well, we'd love to see everyone, so I hope everyone comes down to join the library. And you don't have to join the library. If you already are members, you can still come and collect your book as well.
All right, get your free stuff, courtesy of Kildare Library. It's a Kildare Librarian Services or Library Services, whether it's Newbridge, Attire, or all the other places the libraries are. And it's a magical space to go into, I can tell you. And that's a great initiative for the under fours. So come on, pack them up and get them down. Amy, have a great weekend. Thank you.
Thank you, you too. Bye.
All right, good afternoon. I think that's lovely. Now, before we go, I promise to tell you about superstitions. Today's Friday the 13th, lads. And my attention is drawn to an article by Kylie Sturgis of Murdoch University. I presume they're based in the States. On Friday the 13th in 1976, he decided to just stay in bed for the day. This is a fella called a New Yorker, Daz Baxter. He decided to stay in bed for the day because it was Friday the 13th, which is supposed to be the unluckiest day in the calendar, only to be killed when the floor of his apartment block collapsed under him. So they call it, there's a big, big word, which I'm not even going to try at this moment because time is getting on anyway. There's always at least one Friday the 13th in every year. And you know, these Kill Bills, not Kill Bill, but the Friday the 13th films and all of that, where your man returns to haunt our screens and everybody is terrified in regards to that. One study has shown a small rise in accidents on the day for women drivers in Finland. I'm not making it up. It's just saying what they are. But there's a general stigma to Friday the 13th. In the Christian tradition, the death of Jesus took place on a Friday, Good Friday, following the presence of 13 people at the Last Supper, Judas. In Teutonic or German legend, the god Lochai appears at a dinner party seated for 12 gods. And there's something similar also in the Buddhist religion of the word, the 13 being an unlucky number. In Italy, The number 17, though, is the unlucky number. Change of plans in Greece, Spain, and in Mexico. The unlucky day is not Friday the 13th, but Tuesday the 13th. Now, and in all countries around the world, what is it about superstition? Do you throw salt over your shoulder? You know, because the idea with that was when you put salt over your shoulder, it was you were throwing it into the eyes of the devil. Over your left shoulder, because that's where the evil was. Because everyone, all the good people sit on the right hand of God. So therefore, what about the black cats? Is it lucky or unlucky to see one, depending on where you are? Walking on lines on the footpath. Putting on your socks in a particular order. Or whatever else. Wearing a lucky charm. All of these things we have for superstitions. And I'm told that charms do work in a way. If you wear your lucky underwear and succeed enough, you will feel distress that actually impedes your performance if you're not wearing them. So lads, the Y-fronts, and ladies, the little Nickies, your favourite underwear, because if you're not, you'll be possibly distressed and might not achieve things in life. It influences your performance, we're told. Well, whatever you make of it anyway, many people have superstitions, things they wouldn't do or that they have to do before undertaking an activity or whatever else. Interesting, isn't it, in regards to the way it works out? But anyway, today is Friday the 13th. Make what you will of it.